But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I wanted to stay in this division. I know this is the toughest division of football right now. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Some of you Packer fans are classy, but for some of you obnoxious scumbags, I got one thing.
And now, it's time for Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now, Les Grobstein drops always fall in a special and elite category. A little something called Funny Every Time. Funny Every Time are Les Grobstein drops. And I'll tell you what. I certainly did not intend to begin the show talking about Les Grobstein. But why not? You know, we mourned, celebrated the three years now since we lost our overnight guy, Les Grobstein, and in the midst of all the Bearsness that has been going on, haven't really talked much about that. And later on tonight, one of the things that we'll be doing on this version of a Mark Grody show here at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, one of the things that we'll be doing is talking to a fellow Grobber expert and historian.
Oh, hell yeah.
Huh? Well, I mean, I am definitely, you know, of the, I'd like to think, one of the foremost Les Grobstein experts, appreciators, historian. And John Greenberg is on the level. He is on the level. So is Steve Leventhal, my guy Steve Leventhal, who is going to write a book about Les Grobstein. We're going to have him on one of these nights to talk about the Grobber. But John Greenberg will join us a little bit later on from The Athletic. Grobber, just one of the things that we want to discuss. Actually, on Greenberg's Twitter, on his X, we did a bum of the year in the name of Grobber. And we'll tell you about the candidates and the finalists for that a little bit later on. See, we're all behind a little bit. But Greenberg will also talk to us. He was at the Bears thing. He was at the introduction for Ben Johnson. He comes to all the big ones, you know, being a columnist and all. So, and he was also at the Cubs convention, which I feel like I have not gotten a fair amount of things out about my thoughts on the Cubs and what happened over the weekend and all of that stuff. I see it looks like, I was just looking at something on Twitter baseball-wise. I love baseball. I think Bregman is back in talks. I think per Ken Rosenthal, I got to confirm from whom it was, but it looks like Bregman is back in talks with the Astros. So, but we might talk a little bit about the Cubs later on with Greenberg and what's cooking and what was cooking and a little perspective on Sammy Sosa as well. Also on the show tonight, Paul Pabst will join us. Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show. He is also a score guy. He is the host of The Tailgate early in the morning on Saturday. So Pabst will join us at about 6:25 to get his Bears fan thoughts on the hiring of Ben Johnson and what they're talking about on the Dan Patrick Show, and what the national buzz is and what people are saying. So he can provide that insight for us, which he will do in about 25 minutes from right now. Also, tonight, hour from now, 7 o'clock, Mike Renner will join us of CBS Sports. NFL and draft analyst. He does a podcast, and he's a Notre Dame guy. What are you laughing about, Tree?
He does a podcast.
Well, I just feel like everybody does a podcast. So
we got Paul Papps. He does a podcast.
Paul Papps, the podcaster.
You got John Greenberg. I don't think he actually does a podcast. So
no, well, we'll ask him about that. What's up? Hey, yo, bro. What's up with the lack of podcast? I don't know. Is it more rote and tired when somebody tells you they're starting a podcast? Or is it that way if somebody says, I don't have... Oh, really? You don't have a podcast? Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, that's rough.
Ah, I am sorry about that. You don't have...
Don't you have a podcast, Mark?
I do. I have a podcast. It's called Take the North. Take the North! Take the North is a podcast that I perform gladly with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. Take the North. If you'd like, you can check it out right now. It is Take the North. And you could find it. Just Google it or go wherever you get your podcast and you could find it. And it will be Dan and I talking about Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, because that's what we do. But Mike Renner will join us at 7 o'clock. Like I said, Paps at 6:25, 7 o'clock for the Renner. And then Greenberg joins us at 8 o'clock tonight. So now that Ben Johnson is here with the Bears and the celebration, the biggest part of the celebration is over. I guess 24-hour rule, if we're like really doing that, that NFL teams stick to, then I guess an occasion like this, we should probably stick to the 24-hour rule as well. It'll never not be good that, for the time being, that the Bears have Ben Johnson, but the actual, yay, we actually got him, I can't believe they got him, how did they get him, and we explored a lot of that last night. What I want to figure out now with the Chicago Bears is start to explore what the Ben Johnson effect might be and what his presence will mean. Like on the field, record production-wise, playoff-wise, how fast is it all going to get there? The Bears were a team last year that were 5-12. We know it would happen. There was a 10-game losing streak for the second time in 3 years that we all endured in different ways watching the Chicago Bears this year, with Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron and Eric Washington running the team, are the most important parts, most important coaches that existed on that staff. Ben Johnson is now here. He loves the roster like a lot of us did going into the season, which was a big part of why this year was shocking for the Bears. I mean, it really was. Like, when we take a breath to think about the season, just because it was so bad and we were all living it, that we were living in the moment, which is good, which didn't necessarily give us a chance to be like, oh my God, this, it's amazing that considering where expectations were, it got this bad. And again, expectations were there because we saw what Ben Johnson saw, and that was a pretty, when you read through the names and you watch that team on tape, which I'm sure Ben Johnson did, you look at it and you say, yeah, that's a pretty good roster right there. That's probably not as good as Detroit yet. Probably not as good as Green Bay yet. That's exactly what I said. Going into the season, meh, Minnesota, because Minnesota is like the biggest, because the bottom never really drops out with the Vikings. And then every once in a while, they win 14 games and then quickly get eliminated, as they now have had that happen twice in the last decade. You know, where they look elite and then they are proved. I don't know if they're frauds. I don't know about that. I'm not ready to call Minnesota that. But you know what I mean? They're always a meh type of team. Here's a question I want to throw out to you, and then I'm going to add a bunch more here for you. And here, the 312-644-6767 is the number. 312-644-6767. You want to hang out. How much to blame was the bad coaching of the Bears, and how much can Ben Johnson make up that ground, and how quickly? How much was the bad coaching? Because we really, if you like, want to start to think about and project what Ben Johnson might be able to do, assuming we all agree that he's going to be competent in his position, or at least better than his predecessors, I mean, you have to start to look at those things. And, you know, how bad it was for the coaching, and could Caleb have been on a higher Jaden Daniels-ish level had he had the correct coaching. Because it was a weird year for Caleb Williams. And I'm going to be the first person, and if you listen to me last night or if you listen to me in general, I am going to be critical of Caleb Williams. I am not afraid to be critical of Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams had plenty of bad moments this year. Plenty of them. I mean, if we're going to grade Caleb Williams as the number one overall pick and a guy who the word and adjective generational has been attached to him, then let's treat him as such. Let's act accordingly. And there was plenty of things for which he was culpable. And you know, I would start with beginnings of games. Like eventually that had to fall squarely on number 18. There were early drops and other penalties that would occur, but there were a lot of inaccurate passes early in games by Caleb Williams, like first passes of the game sometimes. So that part he does, and then the accuracy issue in general, which I think surprised a lot of us and actually seemed to surprise and make Caleb Williams flustered as well when we would ask him about accuracy issues, because that was not something that was really in the repertoire. Like, his accuracy was always pretty good in college. That wasn't a thing. So to have that arise this year was confounding, man, for him and I think for others as well. That was not something that was expected to occur. So those are just a couple of things. Like, and I think about his season and giving like the quick, let's see if I can give a quick 17 game synopsis on Caleb Williams' season this year, like the ups and the downs and like the good and the bad for Caleb this year. And all of this too, with the base being, I think Caleb Williams is going to be really good still. Okay. Like, I haven't backed off on any of that. But let's call it like it is. Like, first game of the year, he didn't even have 100 yards in that game. It was a win though. Remember that? In the second game, he threw for 174 yards and a loss to Houston. Man, that Indianapolis game. Remember the numbers. This is where the part where you watch the game and you know exactly what happened really comes in handy. The Indianapolis game was Caleb, 33 of 52, 363 yards, two TDs, two picks, and a strip sack along the way. That was, man, the 52, that's probably the first time ever that Bears fans got really mad at an offensive coordinator or head coach because the quarterback threw the ball 50-plus times. It was a ridiculous game and a poorly coached game, too. But even that, even though 363, man, you got to take that seriously. If you've followed the Bears all your life and said that's a lot of yards and that's good, but it was a bad game and it was the numbers were a little bit out of context, but it did happen. And that was game three. Game four, the Rams game. The Bears beat the Rams this year. You remember that? That was Caleb was 17 of 23, 157 yards and a TD. So just okay. Along comes Carolina. 20 of 29, 304 yards, two TDs to DJ Moore. That was a really good game. I don't care how bad Carolina was, and I know people are hindsighting that game a lot at this point. That was a hell of a game for him, and a big moment for DJ Moore for those two to start to get their chemistry down. Jacksonville was unbelievable. Two touchdowns to Cole Kmet, two to Keenan Allen to get him up and running, four TDs in all, 226 yards. Big-time stuff from Caleb Williams in that game. The Washington game. He did get the Bears down the field in the. Remember that? Like, it was. Talk about the fact that that game was a Bears celebration. Remember? The deadliest game of the year for the Bears, which caused their downslide, or some people think it caused their downslide. That was a celebration going on just seconds before, and that was Caleb Williams taking the Bears down the damn field and getting them in position to take the lead, which they did. The two-pointer as well. They had a 15-12 lead, and all you had to do was stop the madness on the Hail Mary, and you weren't able to do it. That was big-time stuff right there from Caleb Williams. Like, and it wasn't a good game in general, but you have to like look at it and say, okay, man, like to have the fourth quarter part, like a notch right there in the belt. That's huge, because sometimes that notch never comes for young quarterbacks. That's for sure. Detroit, at Detroit, 256, three touchdowns. Was that the Thanksgiving? No, maybe. New England. The New England game, he only threw for 120 yards, 0 and 0 touchdowns, interceptions. San Francisco game, 17 of 23, 134, 2 TDs. The Green Bay game, he got the Bears into position for that field goal, which was really good too. Like, you can't deny that. But the complete game as a full product was certainly imperfect as well. The home game against Minnesota, the 27-yard bullet to DJ Moore to set up the game tying field goal, and then maybe his best throws of the year. You remember those two throws, the one to Keenan Allen where he drops it in the bucket, and the one on the sideline where he runs to the sideline and flings it down the field to DeAndre Swift on a scramble drill. That was some sick stuff, like legit elite kind of throw. I even had a little talk with Caleb about those throws, and he said that the one down the sideline, he's like, yeah, maybe elite. He's like, I felt like I did that a lot in college. He said the other one, though, to Keenan, he said that was sick because there was like four people. He put it in a spot, dropping the bucket. He put it in a spot where nobody else could have caught the ball, but I just thought it was hilarious. And I was like, which, you know, were they both? He's like, I don't know, man. He's like, so, all right, love that confidence, right? So that was good stuff. The home game against Detroit, not the Thanksgiving Day game. Caleb had to run up some numbers for sure at Detroit because it was just a horrible first half. But the home game against Detroit, three big fourth down conversions, 45-yard play to Keenan Allen. There was some good stuff there. So I go through some of this like quickly and not in the most organized fashion to sort of highlight the good and the bad, or just the mediocre. So you could see that there was a lot of just blah, 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 and occasionally bad. But then you had a couple of good games, Carolina and Jacksonville, and then mixed in a bunch of good moments in those subsequent games to go along with the bad ones as well. So it's an incomplete year for Caleb Williams, and he's got his own work to do as well. But nobody did him any favors with what was put around him in terms of the coaching. I mean, I think that that's obvious by now. I know we got a break here in a second for Paul Papps, but I see calls up there too. Robbie, I'm not in a position to see the calls because of the seat that I'm in right now. So would you be my best friend and bring us
Wait, really?
A caller? Yeah, why don't you go ahead and why don't you bring us a friend onto the show here? Because I just can't leave everybody hanging here before we go to Paul Papps in a second.
Let's go to Mike in Rockford. Mike, you're on the score.
Mike, what's up, buddy?
Oh, hey, listen, I got a beef with you, Mark.
Oh, boy. What you got for me,
well,
Mike?
Well, you know, I called the other day. Yeah. I called the other day, yeah. and you guys were starting out trying a new phone system, and I was the first caller.
Oh, no.
And your producer said, I'm going to put you back on. Don't worry, he'll get to you right away, since, you know, I had to call right back. And I waited and waited, and then you didn't get to me, and then you had a guest on, and I had to hang up. And I thought, come on, man, where's the loyalty here?
Wow.
I've been a core listener since Dan Jiggins and Mike North. I used to go see him over at Carlucci's. But that's a story for another day. I still love you and respect you.
Okay, thank you. Did I go low on your power rankings now at the score?
Well, you know.
What are your power rankings at the score? What is it, North still your favorite? Is that where we are?
Hey, listen, I go back to the days. I still love Mike North, Dan Jiggins. Mr. Dan McNeil and Terry Bors, those guys were
heavy fuel.
Were the class act.
Yeah, nobody here.
They were the good ones, man. You guys are good. You guys are
thanks,
good.
Thanks, man. You're the good. What's on your mind, man? We got, because I'm right up against it, buddy. But I feel like I owe you at least 30 seconds of Bearsness,
okay,
if you'd like it.
I'll make it quick. Is this fixable quickly? Yes, I think the debacle was coaching for sure. They had a horrible defensive coordinator they hired. He was in some legal trouble. Whatever happened and all that garbage. All that, they just made horrible decisions choosing their coordinators.
Yeah.
And the head coach was a good defensive coordinator. That's all he'll ever be. Matt Eberflus, I'm sure he'll find another job. But that being said, I think this could be turned around in a year if Ben Johnson is what he perceives to be. If he's going to be a good head coach, I'm thinking he will be.
Yeah.
But
it seems like it. Mike, thank you for the call. For the record, that was Robbie turning you down.
I love Danny Parkins, Jason Goff, Terry Bors.
Mike Murphy. When are you going to get to somebody who's here now? Hey, he called here. He called.
Mike is the best. You're a great caller.
No, Mike, thank you. Did you recognize the voice? Yes, I do recognize Mike. And Mike, I'm sorry that Alex Kuhn put you on hold and never had you on the air. Who else do you want me to throw under the bus here tonight?
To give some clarity to about this, he called me and goes, I got beef with Mark. And I said, all right, don't tell me. I just put him on hold.
Hey, Robbie, look at me. What have I told you about putting guys on the air that got beef with me?
We talked about Joliet? This. Bob and Joliet. Oh, is he still out there?
I don't know, man. Bob.
I hope he's not out there.
Bob's always got something, man. He's always got something. I do have to take a break here because we are going to bring in Paul Pabst of The Score and of The Dan Patrick Show. We're going to hear what he thinks about the Bears' moves. Coming up next, I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Tailgate.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Down around Santa Town, and the folks are driving on all the day.
No. The score did not go FM. I am Mark Garrodi on The Score. We're just having just a few technical difficulties, so bear with us. We appreciate that. We do. In the meantime, in between time, I'm going to get to some of your calls, more of your calls a little bit later on. So if you're hanging in there right now, give us a little bit. We'll get to you at 312-644-6767. We've been talking about the Bears. We've been talking about Ben Johnson, and you know, I threw out the question out there that we'll get to with our next guest here in a second too. How much to blame was the bad coaching this year, and how much can Ben Johnson make up, and how quickly? It is a top topic for us here tonight. But Paul Pabst is the executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show. He is the host of the Tailgate right here on 670 The Score, Saturdays at 7 a.m. And he joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Paul Pabst, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you again.
Mark, anytime you have technical issues, blame the new guy, blame me. Mitch and I are tight. I'll fix it. I'll take care of it. No problem.
Yeah, what's up with all that, man? Why'd you do that? Why the sabotage on me? Is it because like I'm the night guy? Because I'm the intermittent host on The Score? What's it all about, Paulie, really?
I got to tell you, I'm in such a good mood. I was just thinking about this while sitting here listening to you. You went down the Bears schedule. And I was thinking about how down the fall was with the White Sox, and the Cubs were a little disappointing. They weren't awful. And then the Bears, the great start. In the past week in Chicago, especially if you're an old-school Chicago sports fan, the Paul basketball won a Big East game. Sammy Sosa appeared at the Cubs convention. That's like an eclipse. That's like the cicadas. I didn't think that was ever going to happen.
Good call.
And the Chicago Bears got Ben Johnson. If Notre Dame would have beat Ohio State, that would have been like the trifecta of the area of Chicago. And in 1 week, it's too much good things to happen.
God, dude. I am so glad that you put it that way, because these things have been happening. And it's amazing what our Chicago sports brains do, that we are more attracted to tying up neatly the losing and the bad things and coming on the airwaves. And I've done it, and other hosts have done it. I'm sure you have done it. My God, everything just sucks here in Chicago. And you just strung together. Was that three wins? Three big wins for the psyche of Chicago sports fans.
2025 is off to a great start. Like I said, the fall, Sosa, Bears. I would have taken any one of those three this month.
Okay, let's rank these here, like unexpectedly occurring. Oh. And I understand that these are all massive categories. What of those things? Because I think it's pretty close between Sosa and Johnson for number one, things that you didn't really think would actually ever happen for the Cubs or for people. Then Ben Johnson, the Bears. The DePaul one, you know, I think with the volume of games and the opportunities that exist, that you're going to have a fluke. Like DePaul every once in a while pulls off a surprise party. So I'll put them at three. Where are you at?
I'm agreeing with you there.
Yeah, okay.
I'm with you. DePaul, I think, is not a big of a surprise. They almost beat Marquette the other day. Chris Holtman's got a whole new staff, whole new place there. They're doing a lot of good stuff at DePaul.
Are you a DePaul fan? Like, did you grow up a DePaul fan?
My first favorite basketball player was Mark Aguirre.
Oh, man.
And then Isaiah Thomas.
Dude.
When I was a little guy, the Paul basketball, we used to pack them. My dad used to take me to Rosemont. He used to take me to alumni, the building on Northside. And my first favorite basketball player was Mark Aguirre, then Terry Cummings. This is before the Bulls got good. And
I know.
Jordan, Paul was the only show in town.
Dude, you and I lived a similar life. I remember that going to the Rosemont Horizon. It was a tough ticket to get. Like, I'm laughing through that to think about, like, a college basketball game in Chicago, in Rosemont. It was a tough ticket to get back in the day.
It was. And it was even tougher to get it in Lincoln Park when it held about 4,000 or 5,000 people. Right. I looked it up one time. The year before Michael Jordan joined the Bulls, they averaged 6,000 people a game. That would have been 1983-84. That same year at the Rosemont Horizon, they were averaging 9,000 a game for DePaul home basketball.
That's amazing. Well, you had your choice between Mark Aguirre or Quentin Daly. You know what I mean? Like Mark Aguirre, Quentin Daly.
I will briefly before we get to the Bears. Yeah. The Sosa thing kind of came out of nowhere the past couple months. I remember listening to The Score when it broke, and they said Sosa is issuing a statement. The Cubs are issuing a statement. I don't know if I ever saw that one coming. I thought they would just be disjoined forever, and Sosa would just go into the ether, and it's like all is cleaned up there.
Yeah, like magically. And I think the pressure. I mean, it's been building, you know, with the right. committee that they've put together and Sammy Sosa making overtures intermittently in the last decade or so where he pops up on an interview like with Lou Kanellis over on Fox 32 or just out of nowhere. It's just he's been putting his toes in the water, Sosa. And I just thought that – I watched a lot of the Cubs convention, Paul Papps, yes. of the Dan Patrick Show, and I watched just as many moments. I consumed as many of the Sammy Sosa moments as I could, whether it's interview here or interview on Marquee or just watching him with the B-roll on television. And Sammy Sosa just was like, he just made up his mind. It's Fantasy Island. Smiles, everybody. It's like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. People are asking me about what were you apologizing for? And he says that because I'm apologizing that I've been away for 21 years.
Right. He just plowed right through the stop sign. He said, I'm not going to give you specifics. I'll apologize to whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, I'm upset Cubs fans who desired me. And
here's a blanket apology. Whatever bothered you about me, take it and use it as a little blanket.
Right,
you know, I used to love Sosa.
Right.
I used to go to Cubs games when I graduated college. I lived in Lincoln Park, 2128 Sheffield. I used to go to sit behind Sosa, and it was fantastic. And I think, you know, I know the PD's things puts a blanket over everything, a cloud over everything, but he's truly underrated in what he did. He hit 60-plus home runs three times.
It's amazing.
Barry Bonds hit 60-plus home runs one time. He never hit 50 again.
No,
Sosa was walked a lot.
That's wild to consider. I would get that wrong in a trivia question. If somebody asked me, did Barry Bonds ever get, what do you say, above 60 again after the 70? Or 50?
Yeah.
50.
He had 73, and then I think his best ever was 49.
Wild.
Sosa also a bar stat to beat someone on. The 3 years Sosa hit 60-plus home runs, he didn't even lead the NL in home runs in any of those 3 years.
Oh, man. So it was McGuire, right? Was it McGuire always? No.
McGuire twice, Sosa, Bonds once.
Bonds, of course.
Now I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
We're going to get the Bears. We're going to
Yeah. I hear you had questions for me. Fire them away.
I want to talk to reporter, not Bears guy, but reporter Mark Grody.
Okay, here we go. I'm getting serious.
If I asked you a week ago, are the Bears getting Ben Johnson, you would have said what?
I would have said a 45% chance. And that's what I actually said. Like that's what I literally said on the podcast, on the old Take the North podcast. I challenged Dan Weider. And I said 45. He said, I think, like 54, 55%. So that is my answer. So my answer was no. I mean, technically, my answer was no, I guess. If I'm below 50, right? If I'm given the yes or no, I guess I was saying no. But I did say 45%.
I was kind of with you. I really was worried about the Raiders. It seemed like Tom Brady had something cooking.
Yeah.
It seemed like when they said Tom Brady's not even going to mention Ben Johnson on the broadcast of the game, like, oh, he's that deep into Ben Johnson that he's not even bringing him up on the broadcast on Fox. I was like, oh, I think he's going to steal him.
Yeah.
Brady batted his eyes, gave him a little, you know, TB12, and there he goes.
Well, and the seduction didn't work, too, because that's what I thought.
Like, no.
It's Tom Brady. Tom damn Brady. There's a lot of coaches or prospective coaches who probably would have taken the Raiders gig just because, oh, my God, I got Tom Brady in a room with me telling me that I'm great and that we're going to build something and we're going to do it together. And I get to do it sitting next to this celebrity. And it's like, I think that maybe maybe tells you something about the character of Ben Johnson, that he kind of turned down the jewels. And you could see why the organization may have liked that as well.
Yeah, it went the Bears' way. The other irony thing is Jaden Daniels, who is always locked now with the Bears and Caleb Williams because of how good of a rookie season he's having, Jaden Daniels knocking the Lions out of the playoffs helped the Bears get Ben Johnson 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah. No, of course.
I think that's irony.
Yeah. No, it is. They owed us something, right? I mean, unbelievable. So obviously you were ecstatic and you were pleased with the Ben Johnson thing as well. What do you think has been, because I got it required, I have to ask you this since you're a big-time national guy with big-time Dan Patrick.
Right.
You know, what has the reaction been? Was Dan surprised?
I think everyone is surprised because the Bears, the outside of Chicago look at the Bears is that they are a muddling franchise sometimes in the front office and ownership, and they slip on the banana peel a lot. And a lot of the blame is on ownership, even nationally, not just locally. And I think, especially nationally, I talked to Dan Patrick about this. He knows I'm a Bears guy. And he said the same thing to me, and I said the same to him. I can't picture the Bears spending $10-plus million on a coach. It's not something they've done before. They didn't seem like spenders. And so after last year, there was a lot of rumors about what Ben Johnson wanted from the Commanders, and it was high-end money. And I was like, this might be the thing that stops it, that the Bears may be fiscally conscious and go, we'll take Mike McCarthy at 9 instead of Ben Johnson for 12. So I think that was the surprise for me, how rapidly it happened. Within 48 hours of the Lions losing, he was a Bear.
Yeah.
And that means there was no in-person interview. It was in place. I don't know. You probably know better than me. This seems like it was in place-ish for a week or two.
It sure does. It sure does. And, you know, from talking to specifically Benjamin Albright, NFL insider, guy out of Denver who is, it feels like he knows Ben Johnson pretty well, was very ambiguous in saying, he's wanted this job for a while. Job for a while. So I don't know what that means. Like I don't want to go back and think that after even last year when Flus was brought back, would he have considered the job then? And of course he's not going to answer that. He's going to say no, right, because he doesn't want to sell out a fellow head coach and Matt Eberflus. But that is something that I wonder, like how badly he wanted it, because despite everything, Paul, about the Bears and the stuff that the Score puts out there, you know, in terms of this being a bad organization, that Ben Johnson came running to the Bears. Mike McCarthy, when given the opportunity, came sprinting to the Bears. And nobody knows the dysfunction of the Bears or the flaws of the Bears better than Mike McCarthy. So I think a lot of the stuff that was put out there, including by me at times, it was a non-factor in this search.
But I think, and anyone who knows anything about football, McCarthy, Ben Johnson, knows the upside of winning in Chicago is bigger than the upside of winning many other places.
Yes.
When Curt Schilling was offered zillions of dollars to leave the Arizona Diamondbacks, it was between the Yankees and the Red Sox. And we asked him why on the Dan Patrick Show, why he chose the Red Sox. He goes, if I do it with the Red Sox, no one will ever forget it. If I do it for the Yankees, everyone does it for the Yankees. Yeah. Here's one thing I want to bring up, though, with you. Yeah. You talk about Eberflus. What if, by not firing Eberflus last year and keeping him a season more than a lot of people wanted him to do, that gave the Bears Ben Johnson? Because if they fire Eberflus a year ago today, Ben Johnson might not have been in play. Likely not in
it's
play
true.
Because they had unfinished business with Detroit. So if you look at it, the Bears unintentionally made a great move.
Yeah.
By doing this now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, of course. I mean, there are definitely ways to look at things, and I like the positive avenue as well. I was just thinking this too. You actually saw something this year, I understand, that not a lot of people got to see this year, especially in person. I've been told that you were at the win against the Rams.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like the lunar eclipse.
Yeah.
I was there. I brought the family, my wife and kids, to their first ever Bears game. It was 71 degrees. We did the double. We did Cubs on Friday, Bears on Sunday,
and they both won.
My kids were on full scholarship. They soaked me the rally house for about $600 in jerseys. But the Bears game, it was a beautiful day. What I remember most about that game is when the Bears early in the game, or maybe first quarter, second quarter, remember all the goal line stuff with handing the ball to the lineman a couple weeks before?
Oh, for sure.
They gave the ball you remember. They gave the ball to Roschon Johnson for a touchdown up the middle, and the place went berserk.
That's how you do it.
Wanted.
Yes.
A run up the middle, but it was a beautiful day.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Roschon. Like, Roschon Johnson has no idea because he's not from here, but a guy like that, like, if Roschon got just a little bit better, he would be beloved around here just because of that grindy power,
fancy. I'll go Raymond Harris on you. They love hard running backs.
Oh, no doubt about it. But he was the ultra back. So that was a little bit. Remember that nickname, Paul?
Yeah.
The ultra back.
Yeah.
He was good. I loved Raymond Harris, man.
Underrated. You know, one other thing I was thinking about, I just wanted to run it past you, and I don't know how much has factored in, but a lot of the past year, the McCaskies and Kevin Warren have been trying to get a new stadium. And I've been saying on the tailgate show, and you and guys, and I hear all the guys on the Score saying this, get the focus off the stadium, get the focus on some wins or some hope or some coaches. And I think this is a big green light to restart that conversation. They were talking about it. Kevin Warren was talking about it within hours of hiring Johnson. And I'm my new nickname for Ben Johnson, you know how they have the guys with the golden shovel when they open up,
they're
going to break ground
for
a new stadium? He's either the shovel or the excavator, because Ben Johnson's hiring is giving a whole new life to whatever the new stadium is.
Oh, man. That is so true. That is so true. Do you think
Wherever it is.
Yeah. Where do you want it to be, by the way?
I was at that Rams game. I hadn't been to a Bears game in about 3 or 4 years. The view from the city, I will never get sick of. I live on the East Coast. I lived on the East Coast in New York for a long time. The view in New York, you can't see anything when you live in New York. You can't see the lake. You can't see the Hudson River. I think the views in Chicago, when I bring people to Chicago for the first time, they're in awe. They're like, you guys have beaches? You have a gigantic lake, not a little lake.
Right, right.
There's like a coastline in a major city hundreds of yards away from your studio at the Score. And when you're sitting, I got nosebleed seats at that Rams-Bears game, and you're looking over, and there's the skyline, and then there's the field. I know Arlington Heights is great. It's probably really easy to build a complex of hotels and casinos and all that stuff. But the view in downtown Chicago, never take it for granted. And I would hope that they stay there in some fashion.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And I get all the complaints and all the taxes and reasons why it may not be good for us. And I am a citizen of the city of Chicago. I'm kind of with you on that. Paul, this has been great, man. I've enjoyed this. It's been a really good conversation, man. I've appreciated it. Thank you for coming on.
Anytime. Keep up the good work. And great job at the press conference for Ben Johnson getting pole position right next to him at the podium. You got a ton of national airtime. I don't know if that was on purpose, Grody, but
no.
I looked at NFL Network. I'm sitting there with Dan Patrick. I'm like, hey, I know that guy. He goes, yeah, there you are.
That's hilarious. The only time that I insist upon myself, as I guess I did, that day is when it is off to the side interviews and we're not plugged in, right. And I need to have my microphone. Like, I can't just get partial sound. Like, I need to have that sound. So that's the strategy. But I've heard from a lot of people. I've had a lot of pictures to text to me. And you know how it is, man. When you get it as a radio guy, especially when people text you, like, that's not a flattering shot. That's not the one you should have grabbed. You could have found a better picture of me. I look ridiculous. Yeah.
Give me a cue that they're going to snap the picture. I'll do the nice blue eyes pose. Get a good one.
Yeah, exactly. And we're always conscious of that. I think everybody is. Like, you don't look down because then your neck fat will show, and look up and look this way and all that kind of silly stuff. And then they manage to get the worst possible shot. It's unbelievable.
That was great. You had pole position.
Yeah, I did have pole position. How about pole's position? A long time segment right here in the Score. Paul, you're the best, man. Thanks. And thanks for bringing up Raymond Harris and Mark Aguirre today. That was great.
My pleasure. Have a good week.
All right, man. You too. That is Paul Pabst from the Dan Patrick Show. I don't know if I've communicated. No, we actually did I did a Bears hit. He was co-hosting here, filling on the Score with maybe Spiegel. I think it might have been Spiegel. And I did a Bears hit with, no, it was Lawrence. And I did a Bears hit with those guys. So, yeah, it's good to talk to Paul. Just good to sometimes just kind of go through some of the things of the past and bring it full circle like we did. I have to take a break here. I am Mark Grody. This is The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's happening. Mike Renner, NFL analyst, draft analyst, CBS Sports. He's got a podcast, and it's called Pushing the Pile. He does that with Kyle Long, as a matter of fact. So that's pretty cool. Mike Renner is going to join us at 7 o'clock, talk about the Bears and the NFL and all of the ongoings. Thank you so much to the people that thought they would hang in with us here on the line, listening to Paul Papps. So hopefully you enjoyed that conversation, and you shall now be rewarded. This is Ken in Elk Grove. Hi, Ken. You're on the Score. Hello?
First off, it's hard to believe it's 3 years since we lost a Grobber.
It is. It is really hard to believe.
For the love of God.
For the love of Grobber.
Yeah, for the love. Hey, getting back to the rails. When you mentioned that team from the north, you got to put in a Grobber saying sucks. Sucks.
It sucks at free bases. Well, hold on, Ken. I was there. You weren't. Don't interrupt me.
Yeah, way to go, Les. Hey, real quick. Look back on how Detroit built their team. Offense alignment, defense alignment.
Running back.
This year. But to get the meat and potatoes, you got to get the guys up front. Because you can't pass block, you can't run block, you can't stop the other team from running 3-4 yards every time they run up the middle.
No, you can't. No.
We need something to put our foot in the ground and stop. Hey, okay, so build it on offense first while you got the coach. Or build it on defense. But we need more big guys up the middle that can stop or move the pile.
I'm hearing besides you. Yeah, go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
No. Besides that, Grobber, just remember, "For the love of God, I thought turkeys could fly." That's the quote for Les.
That is the quote for Les. Yes, he did love that from W. A lot of people think that wasn't a real radio. It was a real radio, WKRP. And then Johnny Fever came in. He was not as good as some of the guys that I work with, like Larry Lujack. What about me, Les? You don't have a prayer. Not even close. Let's go to...
It sucks, and it freebases.
I got time for another one, right? Yeah. I got Brian here. What's going on, Brian? You're on the score. Brian.
Hey,
man.
Hey there.
Appreciate you hanging in there. That's okay. You're a little slow, a little tardy. Maybe you dozed off a little bit. It's all good.
A little bit. Hey, I was just wondering, man, about Coconut and an upcoming scheme, Ben Johnson. I know that he likes to, you know, pull out the tight ends, and I'm just really worried about Cole because he's been so awesome and so quiet as far as like his humbleness as his awesomeness, because, you know, he's got his pockets and stuff, but I'm just saying he's ready to get unleashed. And like, I just really hope Ben can unleash him. What do you guys think?
Obviously there's some pretty nice evidence in Detroit of developing a tight end. So I think that, yes, I mean, it's going to be very easy to improve Cole Kmet, considering how many games that he wasn't targeted in, and he doesn't have to be featured. We understand. Like, going into the season, I understood, kind of in theory, where the Bears' brains were as far as what the identity of the offense was supposed to be. It was supposed to be those three wide receivers, right? With Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. Like, that was supposed to be the flash of the offense. And then you have this getting better every year tight end who just earned $50 million that you add to the party as well. And then you hopefully have a sturdy running game to complement everything and set up play action. And obviously, none of that stuff worked out the right way. And, you know, coaching to blame, Caleb Williams to blame, offensive line to blame, a lot of people to blame when it comes right down to it. But, yeah, this is hopefully a different life and a different look and a different utilization of Cole Kmet, which I believe it will be. Remember his rookie year when Jimmy Graham was still here? And after most games, we were like, yo, where's that rookie that you drafted in the second round? Where's Cole Kmet? So it's been a weird career for Cole Kmet in a lot of ways. Don't have time to get into all of that right now, because coming up next, we are going to talk to Mike Renner, NFL and NFL draft analyst. Mike Renner coming up next on The Score.
Bananas. I love them.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.